Have you ever denied Jesus? Have you ever denied that you belong to Jesus? Let's compare your denial with Peter's denial 2,000 years ago in the courthouse of the high priest. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Heavenly Father, we pray for your anointing on this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. We are back in Mark chapter 14. Beginning with verse 66, it says, quote, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither I understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And a second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept." Unquote. Now, of course, as we look at this chapter in the Gospel of Mark, we see, as always, Jesus as a winner, doing the right thing, and it seems to be, we see Peter here being the great loser. But I tend to disagree with that observation a little bit. I would say that what we have here is Jesus as a total winner and Peter as a partial winner. Jesus scored an A+, and I give Peter a C+, and I'll tell you why, so stay with me. I want to take you back to the 50th verse of this chapter where the Jews came and arrested Jesus. It says there, and they all forsook him and fled. The disciples who fled, in my book, get the F. They failed totally. They all also said earlier that night that they would stick it out with Jesus, even unto death. And for that, we go back a little further into the 14th chapter here. It says in verse 30, And Jesus says unto him, that is, unto Peter, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, that's Peter, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Now, my friend, here comes this little phrase that says, Likewise also said they all. Did you catch that? So let me ask you, did Peter here say something different, something more than the other disciples said? And the answer is no. They all said that they would stick it out with Jesus. Look at this again in verse 31. Likewise also said they all. Another translation puts it this way, in the same manner also said they all. Well, let me ask you, in what manner? In what manner did Peter say, I shall not deny thee in any wise? The scriptures tell us he said it vehemently. And then it said again more vehemently. And after he said it more vehemently, in that same manner, all the rest of the disciples said likewise vehemently, that they would not deny Jesus in any wise, even unto death. So they all said it. So what's the difference between Peter's denying the Lord that night and that of the rest of the disciples? I believe it is this. The remaining disciples ran. They ran away. They denied Jesus by running away, by refusing to further identify themselves with Jesus. Their denial was in the running. But Peter's denial was in the speaking. Peter did not run away. He followed Jesus. And although he followed him at a distance, he still followed him. Peter now began to risk his own life by staying in the company of his Lord. His love for Jesus prevented his legs from running away, as was the case for the other disciples. His love kept him following his master. Even though he followed afar off, he wanted to know what was going to happen next. He followed Jesus so perhaps he could see some opening, some opportunity to be of assistance to our Lord, as he sought an opportunity a few minutes before, when he cut off the ear of Malchus the servant. Moments before, he had demonstrated that he and Jesus together, the two together, made an invincible army against all of Israel and all of Rome, because it was there, after the cutting off of the ear and Jesus replacing it, that, my friend, all the people that came to arrest Jesus fell backwards without Jesus saying a single word. Another proof that Jesus indeed was the Son of God. Yes, indeed, in his presence all of Israel and all the might of Rome would fall at his feet and worship him. So now Peter kept a distance, but he did not run. Peter went as far as the human will could carry him. He went as far as it was humanly possible for him to go. So we give Peter an A as far as effort is concerned. He tried more than anybody else. And so we were school teachers. Yes, we would say he was the best of the bunch. And that gets us to the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. It describes people how they are before they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Here are the Apostle Paul's own words in verse 18. For I know that in me, Paul said, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. This was Paul's experience before he received the Holy Spirit. He tried the best he could in his own strength to be religiously righteous and good. And this is where Peter was here. Before he received the Holy Spirit, he did all he could to will with what is present in him, to perform what is good and right, but he found himself falling short. My friend, I want to tell you that I am more disturbed by the people who will run away from Jesus than by the people who follow him afar off. To me, Peter was no worse than the rest, but rather better than the rest of the disciples in this case, because he gave all the human spirit, the human will, was capable of giving. Ah, my friend, so Peter is my hero in many ways. He was one of the first ones who professed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the first one to publicly proclaim it. And he was the only one of the 12 apostles who tried, and then he did succeed in walking on water like his master. If you did not walk on water, even just a few steps, my friend, you're way behind Peter. Peter is the only human being who ever did that. Peter is also my hero, because he was the only one who did anything he could to protect Jesus in the garden when they came to arrest him. While the others ran, then here Peter did not run, but he continued to follow. So Peter loved much, Peter tried much, Peter failed much, and Peter could not have his feelings hurt, because when Jesus said to him early in the ministry, "Get thee behind me, Satan," he kept going and following Jesus anyhow. Friend, I want to tell you, when you get to love Jesus with that intensity of Peter, you no longer are going to have your feelings hurt. So Peter was the hardest man for Jesus to shake off. Jesus loved Peter. He loves people like that in a special way. We have a tendency to look at Peter's few weaknesses, but I tell you, Jesus looked at Peter's strength, at his heart, at his effort, and what Jesus saw in Peter's heart was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All my friends, Jesus is looking for a million Peters all over the world. If there's a pressing for Jesus in the heart, in the will, in the spirit, as I was in Peter, my friend, we have something to shout about. Even though Peter dropped the ball a few times, the day would come, my friend, when he would stop dropping the ball, and he would be privileged to open the apostolic age. As a fisherman, he was able to open the apostolic age because he had what it took to press for the mark of the high calling of God, no matter what would happen to him. And so today, we're in this chapter, close to Peter dropping the ball the last time. Now then, let me remind you of something else. Going back to the place where Jesus told Peter he would deny him three times, Jesus also said at that same time, my friend, quote, "But I have prayed for you, and when you are converted, that is when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall strengthen your brethren." So when Jesus saw Peter fail, he had already prayed for him, and he already saw him coming out victoriously. When he, my friends, would get through this, he would strengthen his brethren, James and Thaddeus and Matthew and Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Simon and John and all of them. And then he would say unto him, "I shall give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and what you loose shall be loosened, and what you bind shall be bound." So, dear ones, perhaps some of you have tried and failed and tried and failed. And you can't fail unless you try. Did you know that? And so you can't succeed unless you get up after you failed and try again and again and again. And there are many, probably, who may have scared you or been made mad at you for your lack of performance. But I'll tell you today that as Jesus prayed for Peter to succeed, and as his Father heard him, so Jesus is ever living to make intercession for you. He's praying for you that you will get beyond the dropping of the ball, and that you, my friend, will turn from having been a liability to becoming an asset in the kingdom of God. Well, we come to the end of the story, and in our last verse, the passage I read to you earlier, we see that Peter recognized what he had done after the cock had crowed twice. It says, "Then he wept." Another translation of that verse says, "He wept bitterly." And then shortly after that, he saw Jesus on the cross. It no doubt was Peter's darkest hour, the darkest hour of his life. And I'm sure that once again, Peter wept. He could have killed himself. He could have said, like Job of old said, "Cursed be the day when my mother conceived me." But again, thank God, Peter could not be shaken off, and he sensed the marvelous, forgiving love of Jesus. And 5 weeks later, he was the first one to preach under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the history of the church, to usher in this Pentecostal age. Glory to God. So did Peter fail? Yes, indeed. But others failed so much the more. And I hope most of you are right behind this grand, wonderful man of God in earnestness to be all that Jesus wants us to be. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Please tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until then.